As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Hello and welcome to Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young, where we discuss all things regarding renovation projects, either the 203K, which is by FHA, the home style renovation mortgage by Fannie Mae, the VA renovation mortgage, and any other ones that you might think of. There's several out there. One of our lenders has 9 different renovation products that they hawking. In case you want to be part of the show today, call in at 888-627-6008, toll free, and ask your renovation questions. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Well, most of the 203Ks that we do go off without a hitch. From time to time, you may find yourself with nobody to talk to on your side. Now, that doesn't mean you might be the homeowner and everybody seems to be against you, then feel free to call us, check with us, go to 203K911, and let us know your story. We'll be happy to talk to you privately or on the air if you like. Either way is fine. But if you're having a problem and nobody's on your side, your consultant cannot and should not be your advocate. So if you think your consultant slash inspector is going to be your advocate and take care of your problem, they can't. They're not allowed to be an advocate. So sometimes I think we are advocates as consultants or inspectors, and you rely on us for that service, and it's not part of our services. So be careful. If you need someone to talk to that's not related to your transaction, give us a call. We'll be happy to help you. We've helped hundreds and hundreds of people so far, and many of them, I would say 98% of them have not had to pay us a fee at all. We're happy to help if we can. And many times the problems that you come up with are really very small. I would say 99% of them have been handled just by getting you to communicate again with your contractor. Some of them can't be handled that way. And some of it isn't your contractor that's the problem. So if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, more specific terms, we're happy to do it privately. Go to 203konline.com, scroll down to the Contact Us button there, and send us an email. Or go to 203k911.com and go to the message center there and send that to us. We'll be happy to take care of that for you. Today, let's see what we got. Questions that came in last week from consultants, listeners. Is it okay for a client to pay out of pocket for work to be reimbursed through a draw with the contractor? I've never had someone ask me this before. He wants to avoid doing a change order, but wants to be paid back quickly. Well, number one, the change order is how the consultant or slash inspector gets paid. If he doesn't do a change order, then he can't very well take care of that situation for you. So if you're trying to get by without the consultant or inspector's fee, don't ask the fee. Don't ask the consultant about it. You're wasting his time. But the lender is not going to pay a homeowner for anything. They're not going to pay the homeowner anything for their labor, of course. But in this case, it sounds like the work is outside the scope of work. So either way, we frown on this practice because there's little recourse if the work isn't completed in a professional and workmanlike manner. We are not hired to inspect it. When you do something outside the scope, as a homeowner, you're dictating what needs to be done. You should have a bid for that project, for that new phase and send that to your consultant, have them get the lender's approval on that change, and then put the money up. So if it's a bid for a $500, then technically, according to the guideline, the homeowner is supposed to put that $500 up in escrow so that we know we have the money to pay for it, and then we can inspect it. It doesn't always happen that way, and sometimes we can get it paid outside the scope, but that payment is going to come to the homeowner and the contractor combination, a check made to both of you, just like all the other checks. There are some lenders out there that are paying the contractor directly, direct deposit into their account. It's really fast to get a draw with them. I don't think that's in their best interest, the lender's best interest, because there's no recourse. The guideline clearly states a check will be cut to both of them. And when they violate that and have a supplemental requirement that they allow that to be paid directly to the contractor, they're sticking their neck out. So if there's a problem, something gets paid and it wasn't inspected properly, then it could be an issue. If it's within the scope of work, then the borrower is providing cash flow to the contractor and he wants to get paid directly. Well, that's not going to happen. The check is still going to be made to the homeowner and the contractor if it's done properly. And at that point, it's up to the contractor to hand a check over and reimburse the homeowner. This one came in from a consultant, but should be of great interest to realtors as it can save a deal. Appraising an FHA 203K property. In our software that we provide for consultants nationally, we have a button to push and it prints the paperwork that an appraiser needs to create their appraisal. In addition, it's the scope of work effectively and the paragraphs relating to the scope of work. So as we send that to the appraiser knows then what they're looking for. But some interesting things happen around the FHA 203K exclusively. When I say that, I mean not specifically the home style loan, but the FHA 203K can actually save a deal. All appraisers should be taking the time to educate themselves on these type of loans and mistakes that could happen so that they don't make them themselves. Most appraisers, by the way, do know how to do an appraisal. Years ago, the FHA guy in charge of consultants asked me to go back to Alabama and speak at the Appraisal Institute group there and show them how to do a 203K. I ended up talking to the president of that AI group and explained to him that this is just a subject to these repairs being made. But I review a lot of appraisals, and at one point we had 39 appraisers working with us on our staff. And so we reviewed, 1,600 to 2,000 appraisals a year just for our crew. And we still, I do half a dozen a month today. And what the biggest mistakes that we find on appraising is they're doing an after-improved value appraisal. And at the same time, they're putting in notes in their appraisal report and checking the boxes that the roof is shot. Well, not if we're replacing it, it's not. So look at that scope of work, and if it says it's going to have a tear off and a brand new roof put on, then you're going to appraise it as if it has a brand new roof. So it's very important to actually read the scope of work, the detail. You can get the abbreviated version on the work write-up paragraphs that tell you what we're going to be doing in a paragraph. But then to find out exactly to what extent that is and the cost of it and so forth, you're going to go to the meat of the 203K, which is the scope of work. There's several ways to find an after improved value. One, and the easiest, is the appraisal as improved. There are two values required for the 203K, and the first value is the as-is value. Back in 1994-95, I was doing a lot of appraisals on the FHA 203K and found that it's not all that easy to do if you're doing a real appraisal, a full appraisal on a fixture that's all boarded up, and many of them were in those days, all the way through the 90s. We'd get out there, and the FHA foreclosure would be there, and it'd be all boarded up. You'd have a special key, and you'd get inside, and it's dark. You got to go in with flashlights, and you're trying to determine the condition that it's currently in so that you can find comps in that same condition. Well, you know how hard it is to find a comp that's all boarded up and you can't see the inside? Sometimes it can be a challenge just doing that. So as is value could be the after improved value less the cost to cure. And it's not an appraisal, but it is as is value. Sometimes the purchase price can be the as-is value. The guideline says that existing debt can be the as-is value. I've always challenged that because if the home was just inherited and I own it free and clear, according to the guideline, it has a zero as-is value. And it doesn't. If nothing else, it's got the land value, even if it's a piece of garbage on that land. So just be careful. Think it through. Appraisers out there, if you have questions and you want to talk about it, we're a safe haven. You can call us. We can talk about it. We can give you some ideas if you need them. We're not suggesting that you do, but if you do, we're welcome. We welcome your questions. Like I say, we had an appraisal fee shop, so we were training appraisers all day, every day in the art of appraising renovation properties. Let's see, where are we here? The purchase price is also an indication of the as-is value, isn't it? Well, we actually caught some realtors in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, that were buying properties and flipping them, fixing them up. I caught one that was an interesting one. The guy comes and brought us some comparables. He said, here's some comps for you. And I said, I'll find my comps. Don't worry about it. He said, no, these are recently renovated. These are good comps. These houses were selling at the time for about $250,000, all fixed up. And he brought me a couple of comps at $450,000 in these same neighborhoods. So I looked into it, did a little research, and found out that Bill bought a house and fixed it up and sold it to John. John bought a house and fixed it up and sold it to Bill and put these artificial prices on it to create higher values in their neighborhood. Now, when we turned it in and explained to the lender that what they were doing, they said, oh, God, keep that to yourself because we don't want HUD in here. They'll shut us down, literally. Investigating to see how much of that was going on and how much we were involved. So very little fraud is turned in to HUD on 203Ks or any other thing because the way HUD handles it typically shut down the lender for 30 to 60 days while they investigate every job they've ever done to see if this is a pattern. Anyway, let's see what else we got here. Oh, on appraising, I got to let you know, if you're doing a standard conventional loan and the appraisal comes in low, you may very well consider changing it to a limited 203K. If it's a fixer already, change it to a full or standard 203K. 203Ks have an advantage on the appraisal of 10%. So if your value on your appraisal of after approved value comes in low, say it comes in 5 to 10% low, by switching it over to a 203K, you can gain 10%, up to 10% on your appraised value. So you can save a deal. Now, many times you get to the point where you get the appraisal. The first option, of course, is to get the seller to come down on their price. They're trying to charge too much for a house in its current condition. But if they won't budge, then quite often the deal dies. But on a 203K, you can actually finance up to 10% more than the appraised value if that keeps the deal together. Or you can negotiate with the borrower. If you can come down 10, we'll come up 10, and we can make this thing work. So keep that in mind. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this break. Call us if you want to be a part of the show at 888-627-6008. And hang in there. We'll be right back.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. That wouldn't take very long. Again, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. All of you people, friends of mine that I talk to every day during the week and haven't promised to call in and haven't done so yet, I'm keeping track. So the sooner you do, the sooner I'll let you off the hook. In the meantime, we're talking about appraising 203Ks and you know how you can gain 10%, up to 10% on the value and save a deal. We've saved many deals that way. I recommend that you keep that in mind and keep it in the back of your head. Never know when it might come in handy. Again, far as after improved value appraisals, they're subject to all those repairs being made. So if your appraiser starts talking about the bad things on his house, the broken windows and all that, and they're going to be fixed, then they have not done their job properly. Appraisers out there that might be listening, you're going to show this as if they've replaced all the windows, all those broken windows with brand new low-E dual pane windows, sliders or whatever, then that's what you need to call it out. It's got brand new windows, not broken windows, okay? Same thing if they're replacing a driveway and the one that's there is all broken up and cracked, and they're replacing it with a brand new paver driveway, then the paver driveway is what you need to talk about. Do not dwell on photographs in your appraisal report that show the broken driveway. It's not necessary. Those will be in the consultant's report. Let's see. Don't talk about the cows in the barn. Don't talk about the barn if it's being removed. So just pay attention to what you're doing. Appraise it subject to the repairs that are called out in your scope of work documents. Okay, we're back now, and let's go into this next question. What is the difference between a construction loan and an FHA 203K loan? Well, construction loans are typically for a set period of time, 6 months quite often, or a year. I've seen some at 9 months, and that, they're kind of negotiable. But if you're borrowing money, hard money, or construction money is typically considered hard money, you're going to end up paying points and fees for the loan, and it's a short-term loan. It needs to be paid off in 6 months or a year. A 203K is a 30-year fixed rate. It could be a 15-year fixed rate. But the key is that it doesn't have to be paid off right away. Now, a 203K is for owner-occupants. It is not for flip a house. But the Fannie Mae loan, which is the home style, can be used to flip houses. Okay, it's designed for flipping houses and for second homes. investor properties and that type of thing. And they are also lower interest than a construction loan, which is typically 9% to 12% money. You can get these for 4.5%, 5%. They loan you the money to fix it up and the money to purchase the house. So it's truly a good fixer loan. You don't want to pay points and fees. If you need that money, you arrange it for 1 year and you need it for a year and a month, you have to renew it. You have to pay points and fees all over again. And you only need it for 30 days this time or 2 weeks. But they can call the loan if it's due and you haven't paid it or made arrangements to get it paid off. So be prepared for that negotiation. Next question that came in from a consultant. What I understood that 203K loans can get a buyer covered for pretty much all of the expenses. How about, does that mean no money down? No, FHA has a minimum down payment, typically of 3.5%. What did I hear recently? It seems like somebody said that they were going to a 3% to try to match Fannie Mae. But I don't know if that's happened yet. If anybody does, call in and let me know. Any of you lenders out there. In any case, you can get all of the construction costs covered. You can get appraisal. Now, you can't get the appraisal fee, but you can get the permit fees, and architectural engineering can all be included in your package. Recently, we had a lender say that they wouldn't pay the school tax on the room addition, which was two bedrooms. And the school tax in some areas of California is $15,000 per bedroom. We've been able to avoid that by calling these rooms studies and sitting rooms and other just get the bedroom word out of there. The B word, if you would. And you may find that you can save some of that fees. As far as covering expenses or getting no money down, no. HUD does sell some of its foreclosures and has special deals to move them at $100 and or $500 down payments. So those lower down payments are possible, but I wouldn't be looking for a zero down deal on a FHA loan. You can get zero down deals and renovation money on VA loans. Okay. So next question was, last week I spoke to the owner of a local mortgage company, and she mentioned that her company doesn't do that many 203K loans, maybe only one per month. She said the 203K loan does not give investors the amount of equity they would like. Well, that's probably why the lender doesn't do many of these, is because 203K is for owner-occupied only. So if they're worried about how much equity an investor gets, they're doing the wrong loan. They need to move to the Fannie Mae home style. See, I didn't get to the question yet. Okay. The 203K loan works for buyers who are buying fixer-up houses and need most of their mortgage covered and need additional $30,000 to $50,000. Then they ask me, what is my opinion? Frankly, I don't like to spend a lot of time one-on-one with people asking questions about the 203K. That's why we have the radio show, so they can ask them. There's lots of other people that have the same questions. They just don't have the ability to call in during the show, maybe. But if you leave your message on our email from one of our websites, you can it'll be on the next show at the next weekend. And you can always go back to the podcast and visit that show that you missed. But FHA loans are clearly not for investors. They are only for owner-occupants. Now, having said that, the other day I got a phone call from an old client. We did a nice 203K for a house in Angwin, California, a few years ago, and now he was calling back just 2 years later and doing a duplex in Roseville, California. And I reminded him they can own two houses. And he said, oh, no, I've already got approval. His company, his business, was moving him to another city. So in that case, you can keep your first loan and get another second 203K loan on the new house. And that's what he was doing with HUD's blessing. Remember that the home style renovation mortgage is the one that investors and second homes is the one it's like. I believe that you do have a 25% down payment. But if you're an investor and you're used to paying cash, all cash for the renovation and the purchase of these fixtures, this 25% down means now you can do three or four at a time, and you're not obligated to do just one at a time or relegated to do one at a time. Next question that came in, is there any concern for myself performing a home inspection, mold assessment, asbestos radon testing on the property, getting the 203K loan? That's a good question. That is an excellent question. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call from HUD in Santa Ana, who is our local Hawk Home Ownership Center is. And we were talking with the head man there, and he explained to me that it would be a conflict of interest for us to do the home inspection or over and above the one that comes with the report with your consultation. But they specified termite or wood destroying organisms report, you would be a conflict of interest. And he didn't want us to do that. And I asked him, why then do you allow engineers and architects to be 203K consultants without any argument? If they can show you a degree in architecture or engineering, you welcome them with open arms. Can they do the architect or engineering for the project? And I was told, yes, absolutely they could. Then I said, well, then I take issue with your saying it would be a conflict of interest if I'm a termite inspector, that I should be able to do the termite. And if I'm an asbestos inspector, then I should be able to do any asbestos testing that needs to be done. We left with him questioning his reason for his call because he just told me that on one hand, it would be a conflict for you three people to do it, but these other two people over here, they can do it. And that's not right. So if you have those other skills, I would argue that you can do them. Just recognize that it'll be up to your local Hawk whether you continue doing them. So, home inspectors, would it be any concern for myself doing a home inspection? Consultants, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. And by the way, I apologize for being missing last week. I mean, had the best of the Mike Young show last time because at the last minute, the family, I was on vacation in North Carolina, and the family decided to go up and see the Vanderbilt house. So we did that on Sunday while you all were listening to one of our earlier shows. So we try to give you a little more notice on that when that's going to happen. But we didn't have the time. So if you're going back to the home inspector, every FHA 203K consultation includes a property inspection. In order for us to determine what needs to be fixed, we have to inspect the building, the property. So that one comes with it. It's part of your fee. So if you're paying an $800 or $1,000 fee for your consultation, it comes with an inspection of the property, a written inspection of the property. So if you think that you can charge extra for a home inspection on every project, you cannot. If you think you can charge for a feasibility analysis on every inspection, you cannot. If they don't order a feasibility, you don't do one. And if they don't order, you know, if they just say, hey, I want a consultation on this project, that's what they want. They're not asking you for a home inspection. Purchase, many times they are going to get a full home inspection. You can ask them if they would like to upgrade the property inspection that comes with the 203K and upgrade it to a full home inspection. Then you can do the home inspection separately. You bill it separately. But if you're trying to do it any other way under any other pretense, just automatically say, okay, the home inspection part is $400 and the consultation is $800, then you're really not giving them a fair deal, a fair shake, according to the guideline. In any case, we're going to take another short break here. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, welcome back to the Mike Young Show with Love My Renovation Project. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Okay, we're back. Let's see where we were. When writing a draw request form, is there ever a need that I present actual architectural drawings for the work being done? I mean, let's see. I did note that you wrote may not be necessary. Oh, may not necessarily contain drawings. Yeah, when you're doing a work write-up, the architectural exhibits are all of the paperwork you're handing in to the lender for them to make the loan. They're all considered architectural exhibits. Now, they may or may not include blueprints, and that's what I was alluding to in the training program that we have. We've been training consultants since 95. We started our business in 94, and I trained our employees, and then in 95 we broadened it out and started selling our training nationally. By the way, if there's any consultants listening from Vermont, I have the need of a consultant services in Vermont. Give us a call, not on the air, but you can call us later or go to one of our websites and send us an email. But architectural exhibits and architectural drawings or renderings are different. They're not the same thing, although architectural exhibits may contain architectural drawings, they are not necessarily always in there. Let's see, appraiser type sketches can work until the loan closes. You can charge extra for that if you want to. If you're a consultant and you have to do a room addition, then you do need to put in some kind of sketch so the appraiser knows what they're looking at. If you're going to be removing walls, adding on or taking away, you'd need a sketch with interior walls drawn in. They don't have to be exact, and just to say that this is just to give you an idea of what's happening. It's not necessarily drawn to scale. You can get those programs pretty inexpensively. I know several people are using free sketch programs that they've picked up. Some of them are paying $100 for them. We use Total Sketch just because we had experience with it in our appraisal business, and we know how easy it is to use. Now, let's see. The next question that came in from consultants was, is the labor fee for the construction included in a draw request? Well, of course it is. The scope of work includes the work and includes labor and materials for each line item. And those line items should also contain profit and overhead for those items. So each time a contractor requests something on the draw request, he's requesting labor and materials, profit and overhead, and it's all in those same numbers. From my experience, to install siding on a 2,800 square foot home, contractors charge more like $10,000 than they do $1,650. Well, that was a question that he had. So you have to look at the work. And as a consultant, you quite often use Home Tech Publishing's renovation cost manual. They're very good. They've been doing it over 50 years now. They've been putting prices out by zip code nationally. So, you know, what may cost you a dollar in San Francisco, it might see anywhere else in San Francisco, it might cost you $2.50. So in New York City, it might cost more than it does out in a suburb of New York. So you just have to be careful. Use these cost guides. That's why they're there. They're done by zip code, so you can double check a price if you think it's too high. You're going to get cost variances from contractors that are going to be pretty tight. They're going to be within 5 to 10%. If somebody comes in, like we had one the other day, it was clear the contractor was their friend. So when I saw the low bid on an item, I said, what relationship is the contractor to you? And, oh, it's my wife's brother. How did you know? Well, because you weren't charging enough. Consultants have to bid the project with the idea that if that contractor fails to comply, they have enough money to go out there and find another contractor and get that work done. So you can't just throw a low ball figure in there and expect it to fly. Where are we? Oh, this is interesting. Looks like my notes got out of page. Got out of whack. Sorry about that, guys and gals. The challenges for which I foresee regarding estimating the contractual work. I recall you mentioning you will help us gain confidence in the bidding process. Yes, absolutely. In our training program, we'll teach you how to bid a project. We'll show you where to find the Home Tech Services cost manual, how to use it if you need that help. They also have a great training program where they teach you how to use their manuals. If you haven't bought yours yet and you're a consultant, you're going to go to hometechpublishing.com and get yourself a renovation cost estimator book. If you use My Team as your code at checkout, My Team, MYTEAM, all caps, must be all caps, then you'll get a 20% discount at checkout. So you're welcome. Let's see what else we had mentioned previously regarding the wood boring insect inspection. What my concern is, although the DC claims, the District of Columbia claims that an exterminating license is not needed, how are the lenders still going to require it? Well, that's going to be a lender question. Okay. If you're asking me how each and every lender is going to address an issue, that's beyond my ability to know what someone else is going to say, think, or do, or require. So just check with them. Find out. But the guideline clearly states that a consultant inspector can sign off pest items so you don't have to go out and get a pest clearance. I don't like to do that. Particularly if there was some major work done, I want that termite company to go back in there and take a look at those things. If I've done the termite inspection report, then I will go ahead and do it and sign it off as the termite inspector, not as the 203K consultant. Okay, next question that came in from a consultant, a new guy getting trained, was the architectural exhibit checklist mentions heating systems, burners, air conditioning systems must be carefully sized to be no greater than 15% oversized. His question was, I'm not familiar with sizing in general terms for a 2,000 square foot house, would like to see a 3-ton air conditioner capacity. how particular does the sizing get? Well, that's all figured out in your Title 24. Whenever a contractor is hired to do a new heating system, they'll get what's called a Title 24 inspection, calculations. Typically, we found that for every 500 square feet of living area, you're going to need a ton of AC. So if it's a 2,000 square foot house, you're going to need a 4-ton unit. If it's a 1,500 square foot house, that's three tons of air conditioning to cool that space. But the Title 24 calcs are not going to be done by the consultant. They're going to be done by an engineer or a heating and air conditioning guy. So it's not something you have to worry about. The sizing of that unit will be something that is done by a professional in that field. Okay, next question that came in was, what is the difference between contingency reserve and being paid out of escrow? Well, escrow is the account typically that the title company uses to disperse the monies that they receive to pay off the first lien holder, while contingency reserve is usually an additional amount borrowed over and above the construction costs and a percentage of the construction costs, either usually 10, 15, or 20% of the construction costs, and that's being held typically by the lender that's dispersing those funds. And so contingency is the money set aside for additional unforeseen construction items that pop up during the course of construction. And the escrow is typically what they open an escrow, put the money in there, put their down payment in there. The lender funds the escrow, and the seller gets paid off from the escrow by the title company. Many states don't use title companies. They use lawyers to do that. Some use lawyers. Some of them use both. The title company does certain parts of it, and the lawyers do parts of it. So, let's see. What is this one? Tier the home. Oh, how critical is it for the consultant to specify the type of countertop? When they're specifying cabinetry and countertops, it says describe them. Laminate, formica, granite, stone, concrete, so forth. We need to describe them enough that they put in the right thing. If a homeowner is getting a new house and they're creating a scope of work with the help of a consultant, and that consultant just says provide new kitchen cabinets and countertops, that's pretty broad. We have a statement, a standard comment that we put in for the cabinets right out of the guideline that says solid wood cabinets. Okay. You cannot use particle board on any part of that cabinetry. And then on the cabinets, countertops, if the borrower says, okay, I can't wait to get my new granite countertops in place, and the consultant doesn't specify granite, they might get formica. They might get a laminate-type countertop. So it's very, very important to be as specific as possible. When you're specifying granite, there's a big difference in cost between the pre-cut stuff and the stuff you have to work up from a slab. So be as careful as you can be when they're specifying that. Some contractors don't want you to specify that. They'll give you a price for granite countertops that includes cutting them and shaping them. And, well, in fact, they're going to run down and get this pre-cut stuff that's already 21 inches deep, and they'll throw a backsplash on it at 4 or 6 inches, and they'll cut a fat hog. They'll take advantage of you that way. So it's best that you're very specific. If you're putting in appliances, be specific. Tell us what brand. Go down and do a little homework as a homeowner, as a home buyer. Find out what you want. Give us brand names. Model numbers are all good. The more accurate you can be, the better that project is going to turn out in your favor, the way you wanted it to. Okay, so, hey, we got our last break today. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Call us at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. We look forward to it. We'll be right back.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young. If you want to be part of our show, have a question for regarding renovation, call us at 888-627-6008. You know, once the questions start coming in, you kind of get a little bit, opens it up to other people. They get the guts to call in and be on the air. It's not scary. Heck, I'm doing it. So if it was scary, I certainly wouldn't be doing it. I don't do scary things. Anyway, the next question that came in is that in the initial walkthrough for our 203K consultation, is it imperative that the home buyer is there or the homeowner is present? Well, I believe it is. Whether it's a home inspection or a 203K consultation, I definitely want the home buyer there. It's not always possible. You know, you might have an out-of-state buyer buying this house, and they come out, they looked at it. Nobody thought to call you at that time, and they get back home to their state and then call you and make up the appointment to go out and see the house, and they send their representative. It's not quite as good. I recommend that you take a film. You know, you can turn your phone into a video recorder and take a movie of it and send it to the client if you like. So you can point out the things that you saw. But I like to have the borrowers present so that we can go over their wish list. I want to know what it is they want. We love to get that wish list in advance. All consultants would love to get a written wish list. So many times we get out to the house, the borrower's there. You ask them for a wish list. No, but I know what I want. And we end up taking a half an hour or 45 minutes being a secretary. And I'm no disparaging remark about secretaries. They're very good at what they do, but I don't want to be a secretary so much as I do want to get that scope down. So I usually give them a pad and a pencil, and I say, why don't you write your scope down or your wish list down while I go look at the house and get myself familiar with what we're going to be working on here. And that works pretty well, too. So, I would always encourage the home buyer to be there whenever possible. They need to get a clear understanding. We need to get a clear understanding of their expectations, what they're looking for, and explain to them that they need to be very detailed in their specifications. The more detailed that you can be as a home buyer when you're specifying products for your house, the closer to your dream house it will be. If you don't specify the quality of something, how in the world are we going to know what you are thinking? So that's why we have a specification of repairs. Anyway, let's see. Next item that came in, the next question is too simple. I'm a licensed home inspector since 2013 in New York, not in New Jersey, but I'd like to start doing 203K consultation in New Jersey too, because it's close to the border where I live in New York. Well, you can do 203Ks, but you need to be licensed as a home inspector in New Jersey as well. But if you're already licensed in New York, you could probably get licensed in New Jersey fairly easily. But you do need to be licensed as a home inspector. And I shake my head as I say that. If you could see me, I'm rolling my eyes and shaking my head, because HUD says what we do is clearly not a home inspection, and we have to disclose that to the home buyer or homeowner that we are not providing a home inspection for what we're doing. It's an inspection used to determine what repairs need to be done. So why do we then have to be a home inspector? I think it was HUD's way of giving us another license that could be removed if we didn't do what they wanted us to do. So if you're licensed as a home inspector in one state, that's the only state you can be doing 203Ks. If you expand to another state, get a license, then send your application in with that change to that state as well. Okay. The next question was another challenge to this person, this consultant that was getting his training, is seminars. I'd like to know how to narrow that down so that I'm more comfortable meeting mortgage lenders and trying to sell a product. I say that's not a bad thing, but as you all know, HUD put me on the carpet in 1998 for hogging the work, because me and my crew were getting 90%, 95% of all the 203Ks in our area of California. Now we do it all over the place. What we do is a little differently. Yes, you can tune your sales force into lenders, but is that what you really want to do, or do you want to get 203K projects so you can go out and get loans? And what we do differently is that we put all pieces of the puzzle into a room. We put investors, home buyers, homeowners that are thinking of renovations, contractors, appraisers. We put all of these pieces of the puzzle into that room. We even take and invite other consultants to come into our meetings, because we can literally generate more work than we can do ourselves. So if you're going to hone in on lenders, that's a very small segment of the people who could order your product, then please feel to go ahead and do that. If you're taking our training, what we suggest is we have a sample report. We suggest that you put that, make it something in your area or look like it come from your area. Put your name in it. Put the lender's name in it that you're trying to do business with. And create a finished report. Hand carry that whenever possible into a loan officer's hand. And just ask him, does anybody ever ask you why we're paying $1,000 to a consultant? What is he going to give us for that? And the answer, of course, would be yes, every time. They all want to know, why do I pay that guy $800 or $1,000 for a consultation? What do they do? And you hand him that report. Chances are he's going to put it in his desk and use it the next time somebody asks him. He'll give it to them. You're going to get something like this. And that's an excellent way to build a rapport with a new lender. And don't say you did it, the report, unless it's one of yours, but you can say you're going to get one similar to this with all of these bells and whistles on it. Now, what we do is we do a lot more for our lenders than most of our competition does. We provide a lot of work that they would do, because it's simply done with a click of a button. And we can provide all the reports. It takes them an hour to an hour and a half to prepare, and save them that fee. So just realize that. It's very easy. If you've taken any of our training before, revisit that training pages that tells you how to market your product, how to market your services. The big thing today I hope you take away with is the appraisals. If you're a realtor and the appraisal comes in low, doggone it, just switch it over to an FHA 203K. If it's not already a fixer loan, it's just a 203B or a conventional loan, change it to a limited 203K and fix that broken window in the back of the house. Oh, what? There isn't one? Well, maybe there is something back there. You just didn't notice it. But take care of it. Train it into a 203K, and you will be better off and save that deal, save your commission, feed your babies another week. In the case, thank you all for joining us. We appreciate your patronage. Join us next week on Sunday between 1 and 2 Pacific Standard Time, or if you like me, 4 to 5 here in North Carolina. Today I've been coming from North Carolina, but we're back to Las Vegas tomorrow, and next week will be from Las Vegas. Thanks for joining us.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.